Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and everything church-related. And if we're doing a dual broadcast, you know we have something special lined up for you today. And that is really the case here because we have on the line Tim Whitehead. He's the executive director of Galcom. This ministry for over 25 years has partnered with pastors and churches and missionaries all over the world by providing radio studio and broadcasting equipment at the best possible prices to Christian radio stations scattered all across the planet. And Galcom Techs travel to many different countries every year installing and supporting these stations, and they also provide free solar-powered fixed-tune radios and audio Bibles so they can multiply their impact. And we're going to get all into that. And I want to welcome on the line right now is Tim Whitehead. And Tim, you also are heard every week on Saturday evenings from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Evangelism Radio. You're one of our many broadcast partners for our Evangelism Radio family. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today.
Pastor Bob, thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for airing our program every week. It's a great opportunity for us to reach out, report what God is doing around the world, and encourage people to get involved in the Great Commission.
Amen. Amen. I always start, Tim, by asking you, tell us, who is Tim Whitehead?
I am about as ordinary and average as you can get. I'm 5'9", white, brown hair, brown eyes. You cannot get more average in North America than what I am. I'm an accountant by trade, so you don't get any more ordinary. But I have decided to use my gifts and abilities to serve God. Actually, I right out of school, I started as an accountant for a TV ministry. And then one Sunday morning, minding my own business, sitting in my church pew, the founder of Galcom International, whom my church supported as a missionary, like churches do, he was there doing his ordinary annual, thanks for supporting us, here's what God is doing. Mm-hmm. And as he finished, he said, I have one prayer request. I'm 70 years old and we're looking for a younger man to take over the ministry. And probably clearer than any other time in my life, I felt God tap me on the shoulder and say, he's talking to you.
So amen. I turned to my wife. You're it.
I turned to my wife and said, we need to talk. I called him up Monday. We did lunch. I found out more about just what was involved, what they needed. And a couple weeks later, the board hired me. And that's 9 years ago. And I've been here ever since.
Praise God. Well, tell us all about Galcom.
Absolutely. So Galcom's a real unique mission. We were birthed out of this desire to cover the entire world with Christian shortwave. So back in the 80s, the largest radio ministries in the world, Far East Broadcasting, what at the time was called HCJB, now it's called Reach Beyond, and Trans World Radio, got together and they had this plan called World by 2000, cover the entire world with Christian shortwave. And Alan, our founder, was in Northern Kenya, and he knew that there was a broadcast in the language of the Luai tribe. But as he looked around at the grass huts, he realized nobody owned a radio. And God said, Alan, you give them radios. It says, but God, they don't have electricity. They don't have any money. So God said, make them a solar-powered, fixed-tuned radio. Locked onto those Christian broadcasts. Came back home, rewired it up, and that's where Galcom started. He got connected with a Christian businessman in Tampa, Florida, and a missionary, a tent-making missionary in Israel, who had a factory where he would hire Jews and Arabs. They'd do Bible study, and he'd lead them to the Lord, and they were making cell phone antennas. So between the three of them, God providentially brought them together, started making the radios. Alan traveled and distributed it. Ken Crowell in Israel had them built, and Harold Kent in Tampa funded it for the first several years just because of God's blessing his business. And that's where we started. So 27 years and a million plus radios later, here we are.
Wow, that's awesome. Tell me about these solar-powered radios. You know, I understand the solar power part, but how is it that they're just locked on to your frequency? I mean, where does the antennas come from to broadcast the
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, when we first started, it was to answer the problem of nobody owned radios in areas where there was a Christian broadcast. So we would fix tune them to the HCJ the HCJB broadcast in Quito, Ecuador, or the Trans World Radio one in Swaziland. And their station, the radios would be just locked onto their station alone. People couldn't change the station. So people who didn't have a religious appetite yet that would want to listen to the rock or the propaganda from the government or whatever else, they couldn't change it. And those that needed the gospel, it was right there for them. So that's what it started with. And then we started having requests for people in minority language groups, ones that these big shortwave stations weren't really dealing with. Because, I mean, Far East Broadcasting is covering China and Russia, so they're doing Mandarin and Russian and not a lot of the small languages. So we got into the business of building little low-powered FM stations all over the world. Down in Haiti, over in Tanzania and in Kenya, up in Greenland, Mongolia, down in Latin America, all through Colombia and Bolivia and all these places. And then the radios would be tuned to that local FM station. And so that FM station covering maybe a 50-mile radius would then be able to hand out the radios. And that one missionary who used to take months to visit each village was now talking to every village every day. And that's why we talk about multiplying their impact. Instead of one person talking to one person, it's one person talking to hundreds, you know, ear to ear through the radio.
That's amazing. Now, and they're all like in their local dialect, right?
Exactly. Everything we do is through partnerships. We love partnering with the local pastor who grew up in the area. So he knows the culture, he knows the context, the right way to present the gospel, and he knows the language. Yeah. That's what we try to do, work with. And when there's areas where there aren't believers, it's that missionary that we work with. We're happy to work with the missionaries too, but it always has to be that local language.
So is this radio station you set up, is it, you know, like we would think of a radio station here, it's a live broadcast type thing, or is it recorded and then a computer is playing the radio?
Both. A lot of the pastors and people we're working with, they're doing clinics, schools, you know, Bible translation. They're doing all this other work. We don't want to chain them to the desk, so to speak, where they have to be live all the time. So we train them how to do some pre-recorded stuff. We help them get music, and we use an auto player like Zara or other automation software, so things can be programmed in, and so they can set the radio station talking to everybody, and they can go out and do what they regularly do. But most of them that we deal with do still have a live component. My favorite is in Indonesia. The last hour of the day is kind of a text in prayer request program. Mm-hmm. And so they're responding back live with people right then and there.
Are these stations on just so many hours a day, or is it 24 hours a day, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both again. These guys in Indonesia, a lot of the stations we put in are using exclusively powered by solar panels. And so they're on only 10 hours a day when it's daylight, when it charges the batteries. They don't want to go through the night. Others are in a little bit more urban centers, so they're going 24 hours a day.
Oh, that's amazing. And the radios you distribute, where are they coming from now?
We make all these radios in a little factory, little shop in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. It's about an hour west of Buffalo, if you're listening, and I'm trying to think of if you're thinking of Toronto, if you're listening internationally, you know where Toronto is. We're about an hour south of Toronto on the other side of the lake. Mostly made by volunteers. A lot of retired folk come in once or twice a week. A lot of guys, and this is the great part, a lot of guys that said they could never be missionaries. They're not going to get up in front of a crowd and speak. They're not going to be doing Bible translation or preaching. These guys are retired electricians. We have one guy that's a retired small appliance repairman from Sears. Comes in twice a week. This guy is gold. I mean, you can't get someone who's more qualified to put together a little radio, soldering the antenna wires and speakers onto the circuit board, clicking it all together. I mean, there's just nothing the guy can't do. So these are our missionaries helping us make the radios.
Amen. Everybody's contributing. And the radio distribution. I have to go into this because I seen on your website, it looked like a bomber dropping. Tell us about that picture and what it's all about.
All right. Just full disclosure. Most of the radios are handed out face to face. I take teams down to Haiti and we go house to house. We present the gospel. We share a testimony. We give them a radio because long after we leave, we still want to leave the witness behind. Yeah. But there are areas in the world that it's almost impossible to get to. So there's two that we've done these what we call radio drops. The first was in Mexico up in the Sierra Madre Mountains. A missionary there, Jerry Witt, was flying from one village to another and he saw this village at the top of a mountain. He thought, who are those people? Where are they? They landed. He says, how do I get up to these people? It was a Tipiwan Indian village. They had fled up there during the time of the conquistadors back 500 years ago, and they were hiding. And so there's no roads, there's donkey trails. And he thought, how do I get them the gospel? And so he came up with this crazy idea to get these little mini parachutes made about a foot in diameter. and tie them to a box, put the radio inside, turn the radio on first, and he'd fly over these villages and drop the radios right on top of them. And then they'd get this box with this little radio speaking in Tipiwan and in Spanish. They'd hear the gospel in their own language. He had people coming out of the hills to meet who this Jesus is. Tell us more. Just incredible. Oh, so man. Here's the real crazy one. A missionary in Colombia. He was a missionary kid. His parents were Wycliffe missionaries. His name's Russell Stendhal. And when he was in his 20s, he was kidnapped by the communist Marxist rebel group, the FARC. 150 days, beaten, tortured, dragged through the jungle. Finally, the family paid the $50,000 ransom, got him freed. He thought, man, he didn't want vengeance. He didn't want even justice. He said, these guys were in worse shape than I was. Even though I was a captive, they're the ones who are captive in their sin. I need to tell them about Jesus. But how do I do it? If I go in the jungle, they're going to kill me. So he set up a radio station, started broadcasting. But he thought, how do I know if they're going to listen? Found out about the ministry of Galcom, about our little radios. Fixed tuned again. These guys are atheists, militant atheists. They don't want to listen to the gospel. So fixed tuned radio was great. We thought, how do I get them to him? He was a pilot. So he started flying over the rebel controlled jungle. And in the worst places, he'd put on his night vision glasses, turn off the lights on his airplane, pick up a little campfire somewhere, zoom down, drop a couple radios and fly off before they could shoot him. Literally. His plane now, the Pink Panther, is retired. It's at the Voice of the Martyrs Museum in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, because it couldn't fly it anymore. But this is the people that there's such a passion to get people the word of God. They're flying in through canyons in Mexico and over jungles of Colombia to deliver the word of God.
My goodness. Hallelujah. That is just awesome. Now, you mentioned something about, well, first, when Galcom got started, okay, you said you took it over. So how did it actually get started?
Okay, so as I said, Alan McGraw was up amongst the Luwai tribe in Kenya and had this vision. And so he made this prototype. But the ministry he was working for at the time said, you know, we don't know anything about radio. Just put it away, Alan. We don't want to do that. Okay. And he got there with this vision from God thinking, now what do I do with this radio? In the same time, Harold Kent, this businessman down in Florida, had heard this presentation about World by 2000. And his response was, what a dumb idea. Nobody owns a shortwave radio. Sure, FM and AM in your car, but nobody owns a shortwave. And God spoke to him and said, well, then Harold, you give them the radios. Because in Africa, South America, these places, shortwave is incredibly useful, viable, great tool. Closed countries at the time. Of communism, China, Russia, close to missionaries.
Yeah.
FEBC was broadcasting into these countries and you can't stop the signal.
Right. And so, shortwave, though, is very expensive to do, though, isn't it?
It is. And so these big ministries were spending, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars powering these stations because they're hundreds of thousands of watts that they're broadcasting in. And so Harold was given this vision. And so Harold's thinking, now what do I do? So he started trying to investigate who can make a shortwave radio for me that you know, God's calling on my life to give out shortwave radios to people. Well, he went to a businessman's lunch, a Christian businessman's lunch about how to do business as mission. And Ken Crowell, who wanted to be a missionary to Israel, but you may not know this, you can't go to Israel as a missionary.
Really?
Yeah, they love Christians to come over and spend all the money on tourism, but don't come over and tell them Jesus is Messiah.
Yeah.
And so he went over there and thought, how do I, you know, continue on living in Israel? So being a Motorola engineer, he set up a factory. He knew cell phones. Okay. So he started making cell phone antennas. So he's speaking at this little conference in Tampa, Florida, Christian businessman, how to run your business as a ministry. And Harold's there. And Harold goes, you know what? This is a good talk, but I want to talk to this guy about his factory. So he comes up to him afterwards and says, hey, Ken, heard you got a factory. God's giving me this crazy idea for shortwave radios fixed tuned to Christian broadcasts. And Ken's response was, well, that's not crazy. I just read this magazine. I found it. And the story goes, no, Ken's passed away, so I didn't verify it with him. But he found a magazine in the back pocket of his airplane seat.
Huh.
A Christian missionary magazine that had an article about this crazy guy in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, who had made a prototype of a solar-powered fixed-tune radio. So he's got this magazine in one hand, and Harold says, I got this dream. And so that's how the three of them were brought together. Wow. Pure providence of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Allie, now, what does Galcom stand for?
Great question. So the com is the simple part, communication.
Yeah.
But the gal comes from our key verse, Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. The Hebrew word for commit is gal.
Ah, okay. All right. I'll say, because I was guessing galaxy, but I said, probably wouldn't make sense. But yeah, okay. Amen. Now, you mentioned something about Greenland.
Yes.
Tell us about Greenland.
Well, Greenland's a really exciting place for us. And just to kind of give you an idea what it's like. So most of us have the view of Greenland just rock and ice. And 90% of this is true. But there are 50 to 60,000 people that live all up and down along the coast. Most of it on the west coast. The east is pretty harsh there on the Atlantic. Fishing villages. But the terrain is so tough and so rugged, there aren't even roads joining most of the towns.
Wow.
It was a Danish colony, so it had some Lutheran roots, but for the most part, it's unreached people group, less than 2% Christian. We got in touch with a pastor there by the name of John Nielsen, a missionary from Denmark, and he had a church in the capital, Nuuk, N-U-U-K, not W-U-U-K, and it's a good church, a healthy church, and he would travel up and down the coast once a year doing evangelism meetings, revival meetings, and really wasn't getting anywhere. He'd plant a church in Paumut or somewhere like that. Iqaluit, that's in Canada. Anyways, these other little Greenlandish towns, and there'd be five or six believers. But if you only see your pastor once a year, how are you ever going to grow in your faith? And they weren't trained. Not a lot of them could read. High alcoholism rates, youth suicide was prevalent. You get the seasonal affective disorder with it being dark for so long. Yeah. And he thought, how do I reach these people in all these other towns? We got connected with him through a mission conference in Vancouver. We set up the first radio station in his church, right in the church building, built a little studio in the back of the church, put a pole up outside, a big, just a 3-inch drain pipe with an antenna on the top outside of his church. And he was broadcasting to Nuuk. And they were just at the same time laying high-speed internet to join the whole country. And we thought, what a perfect opportunity to do repeater stations. So about 3 years later, we went up there with a team. We put in four repeater stations in the next four largest towns, all connected by internet. And then again, just a pole and an antenna on the top outside of someone's home, outside of another small little church building. And now that whole town was then covered with regular traditional FM terrestrial radio. Funny story. A father and son team from Ottawa went up there to put a station in, and a lady knocked on the door. She says, I've heard a rumor that there's a Christian station going to be here. How do I listen to it? They said, well, we're not on the air yet. We're just putting everything in. But when it's ready, just tune your radio to 88.3 and you can listen. Okay, thank you. And off she goes. Hour later, they're just getting it all tuned up. Knock, knock, knock. She's back at the door. How do I listen to the station? Well, we're not on the air yet. Just, we'll get there. Leaves again, and he explained, just tune your radio. They get the radio station up. They're getting the feed in from Nuuk. Everything's working great. Knock, knock, knock. Everyone's talking about the radio station. How do I listen to the radio station? Well, just tune it in, 88.3 on your radio. Well, how do I do that? What do you mean? Well, there's only one station in Greenland, the government station. No one had ever changed the dial on their radio.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't know how to tune it in. So off to their house they go, tune it over the radio. And now that whole village, that whole town was listening to the gospel. A year later, we sent up another group of people. We put in seven more stations. And then just this past August, we put in a 13th repeater station. We're covering 99% of the country. Pastor John is able to reach almost the entire country every day in Greenlandish with the gospel.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. They had the radio station, the only station that they've never had to change the dial. And people didn't even know how to do that. That is amazing.
And here's something too. And for us in North America, thinking about governments and church, their programming is so good. The Greenland government is actually buying programs from Pastor John to air on their station.
Really?
Could you imagine your radio station being funded by the government?
Yeah. That's outstanding. That's definitely that's a work of God there. And you said that this year you're looking at being able to distribute 80,000 of these little handheld radios.
Yeah, this is a really important story. So generally, we do about 40,000 radios and audio Bibles that we ship around the world. A lot of them go to South Sudan because, again, a large rural community, high illiteracy rates, so radio makes a lot of sense there. Bolivia amongst the Quechua, Haiti, Mongolia, Cambodia, a lot of places where there's not a lot of technology and low literacy rates is really where we focus. And we're only limited by our funding. We fund the radios. The larger ministries that we work with, they support some of the work so that when they hand the radios, they can give them to free to the end listeners. But we're always limited by finances. Well, in March of this year, we had plans for about 40,000 radios to make through the year. We kind of budgeted out and try to share the radios to the different ministries. We got a call from our partner ministry in South Sudan, and they had ordered 12,000 radios that they wanted shipped kind of quarterly to coordinate with distribution events around the country. And I got a call and they said, Tim, I don't know if you've heard that in the news, but Sudan's falling apart. There's anarchy. It's beyond civil war. People by the hundreds of thousands have fled to refugee camps in Uganda. The two main tribes, the Dinka and the Nuer, are fighting, and everyone's getting sucked in. It's awful. But where we are working, there is relative peace. Where we're preaching the gospel, it's working. And the government has encouraged us to do more. So they're going to try to put in a fourth radio station. But they said, our board has got together and raised an extra $200,000. Can we get the 12,000 radios that we want by the end of the year by June, plus 3,000 more, and then 20,000 more by November?
Wow.
And I thought, God, there's such a need. We can't say no. We have to help. And I just heard a speaker with a ministry called ALARM, African Leadership Reconciliation Ministry, who had witnessed firsthand the genocides in Rwanda, and he saw the same things happening in South Sudan, and was calling the mission agencies to do something. And I thought, God, you've obviously been prepping me for this.
Yeah.
So we said yes. We didn't have the money to do it. And I remember still sitting at my desk with spreadsheets and budgets thinking, God, I'm going to bankrupt Galcom because I've made this promise to make these radios. I don't know where the money's going to come from. And I was actually preparing a sermon for the following Sunday. I was preaching a little church. And whenever I'm at a church the first time, I like to tie in Psalm 37:5 to explain what the name Galcom means. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Two verses later, Psalm 37:7, it says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, do not fret. Mm-hmm. And I read that verse, and then I kind of pushed my Bible away from me on my desk, and I started working on all the numbers, and I was fretting. I was worried.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe this, but then the phone rang, and a gentleman on the other end who had donated maybe once or twice to the ministry said, Tim, we just sold our family farm, big corporate farm out west. Could you use $100,000?
Amen.
I just about fell off my chair. I said, you wouldn't believe it. You're an absolute answer to prayer, a messenger from God. Like, this is incredible. And that's how we were able to do it. So this year, we're going to send 40,000 radios to South Sudan alone, and then another 40,000 to Cambodia, Mongolia, Kyrgyzstan, Thailand, Haiti, Bolivia. Where else are we going? Nigeria. I can't think of all the countries. Moldova. Anyway, on and on and on it goes. Tanzania. So it's amazing how God has provided for us this year.
Amen. Do you have any distribution channels in Islamic countries, you know, like Pakistan, Afghanistan, all that?
Yes.
I won't go into detail because of, you know, obvious security reasons.
But. Yeah, I was just a funny story. I was talking to one of the ladies who's our contact at the U.S. Office of one of these ministries that we're working with. And I said to her, how are you guys getting them in? We ship them to Germany. And I said, how are you getting them into the country? And she says, well, the people on the ground, I don't ask them. They don't tell me, but please send more. They love them.
Hey, man, with our radio station, Evangelism Radio, I noticed about 5-6 years ago that almost a third of our listenership comes from Islamic countries. And you know, I was watching these stats, and I in prayer one day, I was asking Lord, I said, you know, show me what this is about, you know, because about that time you heard, hey, be careful on the internet because, you know, you might get targeted and stuff like that. And the Lord showed me, he said, no, he said, they're doing what they have to do to survive in the environment they're in. But when they get behind closed doors in the evening and they type in, you know, gospel or Christian gospel, so your radio station pops up and that's where they're getting fed the word.
There is a great hunger, for the word of God, a great hunger to know Jesus Christ, to know purpose. And he's the only answer. So that's what they're finding. And we're working with people that are doing terrestrial radio, the shortwave radio, the big ministries are still targeting the Middle East and the Islamic world with Christian broadcasters shortwave, but they're doing a lot of more creative things. They're doing internet, they're doing podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal what God is doing. There's you know, unsubstantiated reports, but a lot of reports coming from missions working in Iran, that Iran after China is the fastest growing church in the world.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Because, I mean, it wasn't but, 40 years ago that Iran was one of the westernized Islamic nations.
It was. It was a modern nation, and then it just turned with the
76.
Yeah.
77. Yeah. Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today on this episode. I could just keep going. Tim Whitehead has given us such great value and great insight on Galcom Communications and how he got started with that. And
especially about Impact Radio. I mean, he is making an impact on the radio. Amen. So come back and join us tomorrow as we conclude our interview with Tim Whitehead, because it gets even better, I promise you. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.